One of the tragic elements in American history was chattel slavery. Now, this was not unique to America. What was unique was that the founders stipulated in the Constitution that 20 years after its ratification, that would be in 1808, the slave trade would be abolished. They wrote the Constitution in 1787. This was before William Wilberforce's successful Christian crusade in England against slavery. Part one of his crusade, abolishing the slave trade. That was accomplished in 1807. Part two, freeing the slaves, all the slaves in the British Empire. That was accomplished, he learned the word of it, when he was on his deathbed in 1833. Well, back to America. Lately, there's been a push for reparations to the descendants of enslaved peoples. Nina May is a film producer and writer on the issue of reparations. She's put together a film called Emancipation Revelation. That's easy for me to say. Let me say it again. Emancipation Revelation Revolution. The film includes Star Parker and Alveda King and others. Nina May now joins us to discuss this whole issue. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Nina, we welcome you to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. We really appreciate it.
Sure. Okay, so reparations is basically demanding that people who are several generations removed from an injustice have to pay back for an injustice that their ancestors did, theoretically, right?
Right, exactly. That's what it's all about. But I want to go to the head of the line and say, okay, I'm going to agree that reparations should be paid, but I'm going to argue as to who should be paying those reparations. And to be perfectly honest, and I'm backed up historically, it's not like I'm making this up, the Democrat Party should pay every dime of reparations because they left the country, they left the Union, they started their own nation. It's called the Confederacy. They had their own president, their own currency, their own flag. That's the, you know, the Confederate flag that everybody's waving. And their own constitution. It was all based on keeping slavery legal. So they wanted to get rid of this country that's doing exactly what you're saying. They're now abiding by what they had said in the Constitution, that they were going to end slavery. The Southern states said, no, it's working too well for us. We're not even close to wanting to end slavery. And so they started the war. And it was the Union that came in and pulled the country back together after war, after almost a million people were killed. What about the families of those people who lost their lives to abolish slavery? Another thing people don't know, that the Republican Party was founded as the abolitionist party. Their first planks, the first six planks of their nine-plank platform dealt with emancipation, equal rights, civil rights, voting rights. It was an abolitionist party, from a civil rights party from the beginning. And have been fighting in all these causes ever since. The Democrat Party, on the other hand, is still the party of oppression. It's still the party that tries to take people's liberties and turn them over to the government. They want to put us all in a virtual plantation of the government's making. And so nothing really has changed at all in the heart of the Democrats. A lot of people say, oh, well, that was then, this was now. Well, if that's the case, then why are you talking about reparations if that was then, this is now? But it's not so far in our distant past that the Democrats were not, and they were, the Democrats were attending the funeral of a KKK leader, Senator Robert Byrd. They were giving a eulogy for him and saying what a wonderful person he was. And guess who one of the people giving the eulogy was? Is our President Biden. Joe Biden was eulogizing a KKK member. Where's the outrage on that? We don't see anything. And I tell you, I put the blame for the lack of knowledge of this, all of this historical information, at the doorstep of the Republican Party, because they have such a rich history. It belongs, really, the Republican Party belongs to blacks in America. It was founded to liberate their ancestors. So again, you go back to reparations, not one dime should come from any Republican, and not one dime should go to anyone who separated the country and divided the country on the issue of slavery. So, you know, let's get down to brass tacks and decide if there is going to be reparations, who's going to pay. We did a sequel to ERR, and it's called Reparations, Who Should Pay, interestingly enough. And we did that about 15 years ago. So it's interesting that now is a discussion on that issue. And I'm glad you're doing this.
Okay, a couple of quick questions. First of all, when you mentioned Robert Byrd at KKK and so forth, did he ever repent? Did he ever say, well, you know, when I was a younger man, I was, you know, false. You know, I was in this false view about the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan. Because we know that there can be redemption. This is one of the big problems with cancel culture is they have no allowance for redemption. So was Byrd a former member of the KKK who renounced it, frankly?
Yeah, he didn't die as a member of the KKK, but I don't know at any point where he shunned it or said, no, this is a horrible organization. It should be shut down. I don't even know of any case where he said that he apologized for being a part of it. I mean, it would be out there if he did. But no, I mean, even Hillary Clinton says that he was her mentor. She learned everything from him. Chris Dodd called him the conscience of the Senate. So they did this, and they said that he was a mentor and conscience of the Senate when they knew his past. They knew that he had been a member of the KKK. Now let's move forward and say, okay, let's say it comes out that Donald Trump is a repentant member of the KKK. Do you think that the press is going to give him a buy on anything like that? No, they're not. So there's a set of double standards in this country on every single issue, including being a past member of the KKK.
And Jim Crow laws, those were passed in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Where do they fit in this whole scheme of things?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of people have said Jim Crow was whites keeping blacks from voting, which is one of the silliest things ever, because people want votes. They could care less what color that vote is. I want your votes. Right after the Civil War, everyone knew that every black person they saw was going to vote Republican because of the great emancipator, Lincoln. And so they were always going to vote Republican. And so when the Democrats are working the polls and they see five blacks walk down the street to come to vote, they go, okay, get the jar of jelly beans out. And so it's like, okay, if you can count, if you can guess how many jelly beans are in this jar, we'll let you vote. Or if you can recite Shakespeare backwards, we'll let you vote. If you can count from 5,000 to whatever it is, they just made it up out of whole cloth to keep them from voting. That's what the Jim Crow laws were all about, was to keep black Republicans from voting. So it wasn't whites keeping blacks from voting. It was white Democrats keeping black Republicans from voting. And again, that's another piece of history that the Republican Party is not even aware of.
In your films, you have quite a few black guests that are basically making your case for you. William Owens, I've interviewed him before. I saw Alvita's in there. Star Parker, I know her. I've interviewed her a couple times. Tell us about your film.
Well, Emancipation, Revelation, Revolution is the history of the civil rights movement in America, the role that both parties have played in it, and what happens to conservative blacks, like all the ones you've mentioned and even more, when they leave that liberal plantation and embrace the party of Lincoln, the party of abolition, the party of civil rights and equal rights, and how they're treated, how they're vilified. Look at the way Clarence Thomas has been treated for the last 30 years, Condoleezza Rice, Larry Elder now because he decides he wants to run for president, Tim Scott from South Carolina, on and on and on. There's not an ounce of grace that's given to black conservatives in this country by the Democrats, not one, and they get away with it. They totally get away with it. So my question to any black Democrat is, why do you belong to the party of slavery? Why do you belong to a party that probably, if you had ancestors that were enslaved, thought that they were less than human, that they were equal to the animals? And that's how they justified what they did. They dehumanized them. That's exactly what happens in Marxist countries, in socialist countries. They dehumanize the population so that they can then justify the treatment and treating them like animals, worse than animals. So that would be my question to black conservatives. Black Democrats. And the question to white Democrats was, seriously, you really want to belong to the party of KKK and Jim Crow and segregation and closing schoolhouses down so that the kids aren't going to be integrated together? That's your party. Yet you so proudly stand up there and, you know, pull down all these statues. Well, you know what? They're your statues. You want to pull down a Robert E. Lee statue? Fine. He was your guy. The flag was yours. You know, the Confederate money was yours. So don't come in on your moral high horse and say, oh, you know, those horrible racist Republicans, and we wouldn't have racism if not for them. Well, the only reason you continue with the concept of racism is because the Republicans don't know their history. So I'm an equal opportunity challenger on this one. I'm not an apologist for the Republican Party by any means. I'm actually embarrassed to call myself a Republican when they will not step up and defend us against the call, the name calling of being racist. They're I'm not playing.
Well, now surely in the Democrat Party platform today, they would eschew slavery, Jim Crow laws, you know, any of these things that they were guilty of in the past. So, you know, wouldn't that be fair to say that, you know, this is not something they believe in? But nor should they say, hey, we should have reparations, you know, because they were partly guilty of all this.
Well, it's like going into a court of law. You bring the charges, you have a cause of action, you bring the charge, you accuse someone of this or that, then you have to bring your case and prove your case. What do you use? You use witnesses, you use evidence. There's a lot of evidence in history, even in the congressional records. There's like, I think, 11 volumes of the Democrat Party proudly saying that they funded and founded the KKK as the terrorist arm of their party because they wanted to undo all of the reconstruction that was going on and undo the liberation of the slaves. They wanted to put them back into a type of virtual captivity. And that's what the Democrats did when they started funding all the socialist programs, the New Deal, all the Lyndon Johnson socialist moves that they did. They were claiming like, oh, it was going to be so much better for you and your family. Only problem is you got to get the man out of the house. You can't have any, you know, husband or anything. You got to separate the family. Exactly what the Marxists do, because the family unit is the most powerful unit of government in the entire world. So if you can divide that up, separate it out, put these women and their children under the guise of the government helping them with a handout, when basically you're basically saying, divorce this guy and marry the government. That's really what socialism is all about. And they've gotten away with it. They continue to get away with it. And the black vote goes to them because the Republicans don't go into the inner city and say, let me tell you about our party. It's your party.
Wow, this is amazing. We have 2 minutes left. By the way, I was born in Evanston, Illinois, and I saw some sort of article saying that Evanston is acknowledging the need for reparations. I don't know if you're familiar with that offhand, but maybe you could give a comment on reparations itself. What are they actually envisioning, or is this just kind of a quixotic attempt on the part of some people on the left?
It's a way to destroy and divide the country is what it is. Because now everyone's going to look at each other as a racial individual, like, oh, you white person, your ancestors had my family in chains, therefore you are an evil person. And then the white person's going to look at the black person and say, wait a second, I wasn't even alive then. My family didn't even come to the country until like 20 years ago. We had nothing to do with slavery. So how dare you say this? It's a way, and the liberals are so good at this, and we always fall right into their trap. Always. So, but again, if they're going to have this case and you got to bring the evidence forward, I say, bring it on. Show the evidence that the Democrats have always been the party of slavery and depression. Always. Even again, like I said in the beginning, even to the point of starting their own slave holding country. It was their own country. And a lot of people say, oh, it's just they fought a little battle. They fought a little war over here. No, they left the Union. Here's another question people should ponder.
Okay, we have about 15 seconds left. Go ahead.
Just think about this. What would have happened if the South had won and not the Union? What kind of country would we be today?
We might have actually fractured from there. ERRvideo.com for more information. ERRvideo. Nina May, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Oh, you bet. Bless y'all.
You too. Bye-bye.